That's the end of the first half. As the teams head to the locker room, the Spartans lead the Bulldogs by a score.
You guys stink.
Jeez, Coach, we're only down a couple of points.
No, I mean you guys really smell. You need to hit the showers. And here, I got every one of you new bars of soap from the Sterling Soap Company. Each bar is artisan crafted using natural ingredients and essential oils. They also have shave soaps, colognes, beard balm, and a whole lot more. Now get in there.
But Coach, we have another half to play.
I don't care. I can't stand to be around you.
A few minutes later.
All right, bring it in tight. You guys are still playing terrible, but you're smelling great out there. Now listen, you're going to need to stock up for the rest of the season. We got a lot of tough games left. So go to sterlingsoap.com after the game. That's S-T-I-R-L-I-N-G soap.com. You got that?
Yes, Coach.
Great. sterlingsoap.com on three. One, two, three.
sterlingsoap.com.
Imagine lining up on the gridiron, the crowd roaring, but the world around you is pitch black. No yard lines, no jersey colors, just the sound of the snap and pure instinct. Now imagine a 13-year-old walking away from his fifth grade classroom for the last time, forced to trade his textbooks for a job just to keep his family head above water after a shattering tragedy. Most people would call these dead ends. These two men called them starting lines. Today, we're diving into the unbelievable true stories of players who conquered childhood blindness to dominate the field and a fifth grade dropout who rose from the depths of grief to reach the pinnacle of American football and beyond. These are two great stories of football here on Pigskin Dispatch. In Flint, Michigan, the world started to go quiet for young Reggie Williams. Not because he couldn't hear, but because he couldn't see what was coming. A childhood injury had left him with a detached retina. To the rest of the world, he was a boy losing his sight. To Reggie, the Shadows were just an opponent he hadn't yet learned how to beat. Doctors told him his sports days were over before they began. After multiple surgeries to save his vision, he was left with thick lenses over one eye and a fire in his chest. He didn't just want to play, he wanted to dominate. He used his ears to track the snap of the ball and his instincts to find the ball carrier through the blur. He wasn't just playing with sight, he was playing with vision. He took the resolve to the Ivy League at Dartmouth. Reggie Williams became a wrecking ball. He broke the records and redefined the linebacker position, earning his spot in the College Football Hall of Fame. And he proved that the Ivy League just wasn't for scholars, it was for warriors who refused to be sidelined by a diagnosis. Then came the NFL. 14 seasons, two Super Bowls, the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. For over a decade, Reggie Williams stood at the heart of the Cincinnati Bengals defense. He wasn't just a man who overcame blindness. He became the man the NFL couldn't look away from. Reggie Williams spent his childhood fighting to see the light. He spent the rest of his life making sure the world saw his. Truly a remarkable story of Reggie Williams rising up from this childhood debilitating condition to become an all-pro, a star NFL player, College Football Hall of Famer. But our next story also talks about a College Football Hall of Famer who overcame a different type of a circumstance. In the Mahoning Valley, the sky wasn't blue. It was a bruised purple, choked by the breath of the mills. Now here, your future wasn't written in books. It was forged in fires of a factory. In 1916, Joe Donches was in the fifth grade. He's a bright boy, quick with a math problem, and even quicker on his feet. But in a family of immigrants, survival is the only curriculum that matters. Now the Donches family was shaken to the core that year when Joe's father passed away. Times were tough, and by age 13, Joe had closed his textbook, thinking it was the last time. At the age of 13, Donches quit school and lied about his age to take a job as an apprentice at a local factory to do a man's work for a boy's wage. Now, for 4 years, Joe was a ghost in the machine. While other boys played in the dirt lots, Joe hauled scrap. He learned the rhythm of the hammer. He learned that if you aren't strong, the mills and factories will break you. But he needed this to support his family, as this youngster had become the breadwinner. But the mind is a stubborn thing. Joe didn't just want to be strong. He wanted to be more. He saw the local high school stars and realized that he was faster than them, tougher than them. But he lacked one thing that the factory couldn't give him, a chance. Sometimes the climax of life isn't always a touchdown. Sometimes it's an unexpected kindness of a stranger. Though Doncic worked hard, he relaxed by playing on a variety of factory sports teams, and his athleticism was recognized by a group of company engineering execs. Struck by Doncic's raw grit and relentless work ethic, these mysterious patrons ensured Joe's path was cleared, either by personally financing his tuition or securing him a scholarship to the prestigious Wyoming Seminary in Kingston, a known feeder pipeline for the prestigious Pitt Panther football team. With the encouragement from these guardian angels, at age 18, Joe made a choice that defied the gravity of the valley. He decided to go back. Not to the fifth grade, but to a prep school. He was a man among boys, a laborer among scholars, and they called him the Steel Man, and he had to cram 7 years of missed education into three. He studied until his eyes bled by candlelight, driven by the terror of the hard manual labor he left behind in the factory. By the time he reached the University of Pittsburgh, Joe Doncic wasn't just a player, he was an architect of the game. Under the legendary coach Jock Sutherland, Joe became the greatest end in the country. 1929, he was a consensus All-American. He led Pitt to the Rose Bowl. He was the man who never dropped a pass, never missed a block, and they called him the Indestructible. Because how can a linebacker break a man who is tempered by the working world at age 13? Joe Doncic went on to become a surgeon, and not just any doctor, but chief surgeon. A man who used his hands once to do manual labor, now was to save lives. And he was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1979. He proved that the circumstances of your birth are just the raw ore. It's what you do with the heat, the pressure, and the courage to leave the mill behind that determines the strength of the steel. And if a factory ever tempered anything, it definitely did it to this young man, Joe Doncic, College Football Hall of Fame and legendary Pitt Panther.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Gridiron, Japan!
Hello, Sports History Network listeners. I'm Greg St. James, and I'm inviting you to take a journey with me across the Pacific with Gridiron Japan Radio. I'm joined by a powerhouse team to bring you the best of football here in the land of the rising sun. We've got John Gunning of Inside Sport Japan and the Japan Times, star international and ex-league quarterback Aaron Ellis, and we're thrilled to welcome the new duo from the newly relaunched From the 55-Yard Line podcast, which is now Gridiron America Radio, co-host Dave Selinsky and Mike Tackett. We cover the Japanese X-League as well as the college game and interview the players and coaches who are making a splash here on the far side of the world. Subscribe today and help us celebrate the global game.